Now, the rest of the story. Long before we had to go to the stars for our wars, our last earthly outpost for intrigue and adventure was the wondrous, mysterious Orient, and that's why cartoonist Milton Caniff chose the Far East for his setting for Terry and the Pirates. You remember Terry and the Pirates, of course. It was an action comic strip, a continuing series originally conceived by artist Caniff in 1934, popular throughout the war. Then in 1946, Caniff passed his pen to another, and added remarkable 25 years of success followed, but cartoon buffs pretty well agree Terry and the Pirates was never really the same after Milton Caniff quit the strip. It was his deft imagination, they say, coupled with a fantastic sense of authenticity. Those facets to his artistry made the crucial difference. But there's something else about Terry and the Pirates. There's something real spooky, something which made that comic strip under the guidance of Milton Caniff entirely unlike any other comic strip that ever was. That is the rest of the story. 1930, Milton Caniff was 23, wavering between a career in art and a career in the theater. It was friends of the cartoonist on the Columbus Dispatch who told him, stick to your ink pots, kids. Actors don't eat regularly, so Milton stuck to his ink pots. And in a few short years, 20 million people and 135 newspapers were grateful for the decision. That was the enormous scope of Milton's popularity. He created and continued drawing Terry and the Pirates. 1932, the AP offered him a job. He left Columbus for New York. During the next 2 years, he drew two comic strips for AP. In 1934, the Chicago Tribune New York Daily News Syndicate summoned Caniff. They wanted him to draw a comic strip based on the Blood and Thunder formula, packed with plenty of comedy and sex and suspense. And they got what they asked for, and a little more. In order properly to set his adventure series in the Orient, Milton delved deep into Far Eastern history. Before his quest was finished, he had accumulated 12 filing cases filled with pictures and clippings and documents ranging from Chinese poetry to Chinese recipes and telegraph blanks. The studio in which he worked was buried under an avalanche of authoritative books and authentic relics of the Orient. Entertainment within the framework of authenticity and reality. That's what Milton Caniff offered his readers in Terry and the Pirates. Entertainment within the framework of reality. For example, included in the strip were such real-life events as the full-scale Japanese invasion of China and the Japanese attack on the United States at Pearl Harbor and the alliance between Germany and Japan. For all of its fancy, Terry and the Pirates became a story of substance and truth amidst pages of farce and absurdity. And it became something else. For cartoonist Milton Caniff had expanded his collection of artistic tools to include real-life artifacts and mountains of literature and maybe a crystal ball. You see, Milton Caniff carried cultural and historical authenticity a step further than any other cartoonist who ever lived. Americans read World War II history in a comic strip in advance. What I'm saying is that the Pentagon could have known, conceivably could have prepared for and altered in our favor some of the most significant enemy military moves of that war if they had just paid attention to Terry and the Pirates. Because Milton Caniff described the Japanese invasion of China. He described the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. He described the German-Japanese collaboration in the Far East. He described each a full 4 years before any of that came to pass. And now, you know the rest of the story.